CJMQ 88.9 FM, and it's time again for another segment of At the Movies with Mel. So we have Melanie Cutting with us. And did you have a chance to see a movie this week, Melanie?
I did. I made a point.
Good.
Of seeing a movie this week. Well, I've been doing pretty well with movies recently.
You have been. Last week it was even
last
two.
Last week it was Downton Abbey and Ad Astra, I think. And the week before I saw the Hustlers. So they all have something
they
do. To recommend them. I wouldn't have said for any of those recent three to avoid this movie like the plague, because they're all there were no perfect movies in there, but there were some good ones. And this week I went to see the movie Judy.
Judy, okay. The movie about Judy Garland.
The immortal Judy Garland, who is really not quite so immortal. And this movie's been getting lots of buzz for Renee Zellweger's performance in the title role as Judy Garland. And she is excellent.
Good.
There's no question. It covers just a small portion of Judy Garland's life. So there's a whole lot of her life between The Wizard of Oz, I think 1938 or so, and this movie, which takes place in the late 60s. And thinking about it afterwards, I thought, it's kind of too bad that they only covered this short period in her life. She was in pretty serious decline at that point. She'd kind of gone through four marriages. The most recent one was to Sid Luft, who was the father of her two small children, Lorna and Joey Luft. A chunk of the picture concerns itself with her being a mother to these kids.
Okay.
And she has probably astute listeners will remember her older child from a different marriage was Liza Minnelli, who's very popular singer.
She is, yeah.
And singer-performer, I guess. And but she has like almost a walk-on. She has this tiny little role in the movie. The movie is mostly about poor Judy, as I say, in these declining bit of her life. And the little kids, who appear to be about 9 and 11 or something, are the ones that she is really attached to and appears to be a pretty good mom when she's able to be. She has big issues with finances. She has essentially no money. She is unhirable because she is really problematic. She drinks too much. She is on pills of various kinds. She doesn't show up for work. Sometimes when she shows up, she is either really stoned or totally toasted. So she's struggling. And eventually someone says, well, Judy, you are still really popular over in England, in London. So they say, they have arranged for her to go over to London and do like several months at a very high class nightclub called Talk of the Town, which I guess is a real nightclub. So she does, but she has to leave her kids behind because it's just not possible for her to take them with her. She has nowhere to live. Fortunately, her ex-husband does have a pretty nice home in California, and the kids end up with him, which doesn't strike anybody as a hardship, and it definitely allows her to go overseas and get this gig. But her goal is to do this thing for, I think, 5 months, and then get lots of money and be able to go back to the United States and get, you know, and be with them again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the, so this is essentially the story of this dismal period in her life, but with the occasional flashback to the making of The Wizard of Oz. And Louis Mayer of MGM. MGM was the big studio that had the kid performers such as Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney, who were mistreated, basically.
Okay.
And a lot of the treatment that she had to endure when she was a kid, well, she was about 15, I think, mm-hmm. at this point, involved pills. She was given pills to curb her appetite so that she wouldn't put on weight while mm-hmm. she was making the movie. Then they'd have a kind of a fat Dorothy and a skinny Dorothy. And she was given pills to sleep because the diet pills made her jumpy. She was, there's hints that Louis L.B. Mayer did more than just, you know, be a kind of gruff with her. There's a little hint of maybe a bit of implied sexual abuse as well. So she had kind of a horrible childhood, but this wonderful voice, and she was able to move on from her early career as a child actress. She did a number of movies, certainly after the biggie, The Wizard of Oz, and very successful. But at that point, throughout her life, her early years really formed her later years. So she was always kind of always involved in substance abuse of one kind or another. And she didn't have too many good people there to look after her. As she had four husbands in the course of this movie. She meets and marries her fifth husband, mm-hmm. who is a lot younger than she is, and a kind of a bartender. So you wonder if him, okay, does he really care for her, or is he just basically using her?
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of the story in a nutshell. The real draw of the movie is not the story, which, as I say, I thought kind of didn't cover enough of her life. And some of the reviews I read afterwards basically said the same thing. And they said there was so much more to her as a person and as a performer than they were able to show in this movie, because she was kind of washed up at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, she was still able to stand up on a stage and every once in a while really, really do, you know, the Judy Garland thing and perform like crazy. But so much of the time she couldn't. So it was all a bit sad, and
mm-hmm.
But as I said, if you have any interest at all in Judy Garland, perhaps remember her from her heyday
mm-hmm.
In the 60s and mm-hmm. and thereabouts, then you'll probably really enjoy this. And Renée Zellweger does a really good job. Like, one of the critics here calls it a deeply committed performance. And she looks, of course, she looks a lot, she's made to look a lot like Judy Garland. She's thin, the way Judy was at the end. She has the right hairdo. She has enough of a voice herself that she can get away with singing Judy Garland songs from this point in her life, because her voice had gone from being outstanding to mm-hmm. not so wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah. But people said, well, there's still a lot of heart there. So her voice is not going to blow you away the way it would have earlier in her career, but it's still, you know, she's struggling, and it, you know, it shows in her performance. So this is generally what people are saying, is see the movie if you would like to see what is probably going to be an Oscar nominated performance by Renée Zellweger. Or if you just really have a thing, you know, for about Judy Garland, it was quite touching. I thought that it could have been a better script. They could have covered more,
mm-hmm.
but this is they based it on a stage play which only covered this rather short period in her life.
Okay,
and I thought it was interesting. One of the critics, Rex Reed, who's been a critic for forever, and who probably actually did know Judy Garland quite well, said that one of the things that they left out, which would have made it kind of a better movie, is that they didn't show that what a really good sense of humor she had.
Oh,
apparently she was very funny.
Okay.
Yeah. And I could think of maybe three instances in the movie where you could see, she did have a good sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And she was able to, take a joke and make a joke.
Good.
So I agree. So not my favorite film by any stretch, and not one that I would recommend for everybody. But if you, as I say, if you follow Academy Awards and you want to see a pretty powerful performance by the lead, then get yourself over to the Maison de Cinema while it's still there. And I went on a Monday night, and there was just myself and my two friends and two other people in the theater. And this was a 7 o'clock show. So, again, it may be one that's not going to be around for too long. So don't wait to see it. If you want to see it, pick an afternoon or an evening and go before it ends up gone and you won't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the movie that I did go to see. And there's, that Rambo, the movie Rambo Last Blood is there. And it's one that I just, it's only in French. I'm sorry. My mistake. I was surprised to discover that, of course, it is an English language movie with Sylvester Stallone, but they only have the French version. So I think I'm off the hook to need to see it. And the other movie, which is there in French and English, again, which I haven't seen. I'm not a big horror film fan, but it's Part 2. It's the sequel to the movie It from a few years ago, which is the Stephen King novel. The movie that is there in both languages, and which I may still get to see, I'm not sure, is called Abominable. Abominable. It's a feature-length cartoon about a yeti, an abominable snowman, who is trying to find his way home. He meets some adorable little kids, and I guess the rest just follows the usual tack of kids' movies. But it does look as if it's actually quite a good film. Certainly one to take the kids to. And I don't have any kids handy to take with me. So I may wait until I get to Newfoundland, where I have a 10-year-old granddaughter who I would absolutely take to see this movie. So if it's there, great. But I may even go see it before then. So the other two that I've seen, Ad Astra, go see that. Good space movie. Downton Abbey, go see that. Unless you really hated Downton Abbey, the TV show, because it is basically a 2-hour version of another episode of the TV show. So those who like that are totally thrilled with the movie. Judy is, again, one that I would recommend, but don't expect a terrific script, but do expect a terrific performance by the lead. And I think that's about it in terms of what's there now. And looking down the pike to films that are on their way here, starting on October 4th, The Joker, which, again, is getting really good reviews, especially Joaquin Phoenix, who plays the title role.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My initial reaction when I saw that it was playing was, well, someone else can go see that. But I think maybe I will change my mind about that and pick up on The Joker, because it's getting really, as I say, really quite rave reviews.
Mm.
The other movies that are opening also on the 4th is one I've never heard of, part of their Cine Plus series. which is an English language movie, which is in, I think it's shown in English with subtitles in French. And it's called The Last Black Man in San Francisco. I know nothing about it, mm-hmm. except that it's an English movie. And so I can't recommend it or not recommend it, but that's one that's coming. It's on its way in just a few days. I'll have a quick peek to see if I can find out a little bit more about that. Last Black Man in San Francisco. The critics love this.
Oh, that's kind of 90, fascinating.
93%.
Oh, my goodness.
What they call certified fresh in Rotten Tomato talk. It's an affecting story, powerfully told. The Last Black Man in San Francisco immediately establishes the director as a filmmaker to watch. Audiences enjoy it as well, 84% approval. Mm. But there's very little available about it. And in terms of the cast, there is only one person in the cast that I recognize the name, and that's only because he had a featured role in the movie Judy, playing Judy Garland's fifth husband. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, there's anyway. So I can't give you a personal opinion of it because I haven't seen it. But certainly, if you pay attention to the critics and to audience reactions, it's really good.
Good.
And it's coming locally, which is a bit strange. They don't mm-hmm. always get movies that are a little bit sort of on the low budget mm-hmm. side. So I can probably talk further about this next time.
Okay, sounds good.
So again, there's still construction downtown, right next to the theater. The whole area mm-hmm. down okay. there is a bit of a mm-hmm. bit of a zoo. So just don't. Try not to be late, because you may end up spending time looking for a parking spot that's close to the theater.
Okay,
I think that's it.
Thanks very much, Melanie.
You're welcome.